Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. I have a very special guest today. Kelly Copeland Swisher is here with us with the Word of God. And we appreciate you, Kelly. You've been such a good girl all your life.
You've been a great mother.
Sweet to your mother and daddy and your children. Kelly really walks in love. And so we welcome you, and we want to hear what you have to say to us today.
Well, the Lord's just been so good to me. This last week we've talked about, I've tried to give you scriptures that He's given me along this last year. Some difficult things come up the last several years, and this last year, He has just changed me so much, Mom. And you always want to have the sense of growing, you know,
yes.
But I didn't know I needed so much. I didn't know I needed so much cleaning out. But He's just been so good and gentle and wonderful. And,
yes,
you know, the Word
is.
Talks about His correction. It's wonderful. And His correction is easy.
His yoke is easy.
It
and
is.
His burden is light.
And when we talked yesterday about, I really encourage you to go back and listen to the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But yesterday we've talked about how Jesus said, "Learn of me." If you want to be at rest and have your burdens lifted,
then removed,
then you have to learn how He dealt with things.
How to flow with Him.
You have to learn His yoke, or that yoke, that word yoke is the thing that guides and steers Him. And He said it often. John 5:30 is a good example. I love the Amplified. He says, "I can do nothing in myself." And He said, "My judgments are right because I always listen to Him," in essence. That's what He's saying. Well, I think the Lord wants us to look there. So John 5:30. Do you have the Amplified, Mom, or do you?
I don't have. Yeah, I do. But I haven't found my spot there yet.
Well, let's look there because I believe that the Lord wants us to say
okay.
It. John 5:30 in the New Living, I'll read it while you look for that. He says, "I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will." It's so good in the Amplified that
Yes, it is.
Read that for
Verse 30, "I am able to do nothing from myself, independently of my own accord, but only," this is Jesus talking, "but only as I am taught by God and as I get His orders, even as I decide, even as I hear, I judge, and I decide, I am bidden to decide, and as the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is right, just, righteous, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and the pleasure of the Father who sent me." Now, that's the way we come before the Lord.
That's His yoke.
Yes.
That describes His yoke. That's His yoke. And He says, "Take my yoke." So how He comes before His Father in humility, which we really covered that the last couple of days, He comes very humble. When His soul was troubled, He said, "My soul is troubled."
Yeah.
He doesn't come like closing off Himself or even appearing to have it more together than He does.
He was dependent, as we are.
He's so dependent.
Dependent upon the Lord.
And He acknowledges His choice here. He says, "I decide," like it's free choice.
Yeah.
But He says, "I decide as I'm told." When
he
it says,
himself.
"As I'm bidden to decide," He's saying, "I decide as I'm told to decide."
That's right. He put Himself in that position.
He did. And it's always
and
our choice.
That's what we do, too, if we know what we're doing.
It's always our choice to decide. And we can either decide and live our life the way we want to and go that direction, or we can decide as we're told to decide and go God's direction.
And live in the blessing.
And live in the blessing.
That's where the blessing is.
He wants that joy for us. He wants that life for us. And the Bible in John 4 is a good descriptor of this, because he's talking to this woman at the well, and he wants life for her. He says, "If you'll ask me, I'll give you living water."
Yes.
This is where we left off yesterday. It says, "A fresh bubbling spring within, giving them eternal life The New Living, or the Message says, gushing fountains of endless life.
Praise God.
And so he offers this to her, and she starts out a little prideful, actually. She says, well, how can you this? And mm-hmm. you don't know this. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the way we can be sometimes with things. Like, we read certain things that Jesus says we can have. You know, this week we're talking about being free indeed. In other words, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed, or in truth, yep. not just on in theory, not even just by promise or by paper. If you allow the Son to do in you, now this is not talking about being born again, because you can be born again without letting the Son make
That's
you
right.
free. You have to allow the Son to make you free in actuality.
You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
And he whom the Son sets free is free
yes,
indeed,
Lord,
or in
right.
truth, or in actuality, or in your circumstances.
So in other
even.
Words, we don't, like just for Ken and me, we didn't begin to get free until we began to take the Word and do what it says.
And your mind became renewed.
Yes.
And your soul right. became, you gave your soul, your mind,
yeah.
your choices,
your
will, and your emotions, you gave that to Him. How many years ago?
I don't know.
A lot.
A long time.
You gave
and
that
let
to him.
The
and
word.
That's all I've known is growing up that
you
way.
Did.
But even growing up that way, we all have stuff. We all have to continue
sure.
in this life.
Right.
I love what Jesus says here. It is a fresh bubbling spring.
Glory to God.
Endless life. So as you grow and as your life changes, as circumstances change, the more turn towards Him, and the more you put
yes.
His same yoke on you, and you can open up your life to Him. This is what He did with this woman, and I think it's
and
interesting
you have to
here.
Keep drinking that
you
living
have to
water.
Keep drinking. Yes,
right.
It says, "Please, sir," the woman says, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." The Message says, "I won't have to come back to this well again." And I emphasize this because you're going through something now maybe, but if you will turn to Him and accept His offer here, you won't have to go back to that well again.
That's right.
And you will have endless spring of water and
Glory
cleansing coming,
God.
And your life will be made new. So what I note here is that she asked Him for help. And when she said, "Give it to me," listen, if you ask Him to give it to you, just prepared for Him to give it to you, because He's going to shine the light in places in your soul that maybe you haven't been comfortable letting the light shine. But I promise you, He's gentle and He's wonderful.
You can trust Him.
You can trust Him. So He says, He starts in right away. He says, "Go get your husband." She says, because he, remember, she said, "Give it to me." So
yeah.
He answered, "Go get your husband." She says, "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Well, he already knew that.
Sure.
He knows what's going on. So yes, he may ask you questions, but it's so that you will have to bring that response to Him and open up.
Yeah.
See, he didn't come in there and say, "You're this and you're that and you're this. You don't have a husband." But he positioned her in a gentle place where she offered her problems to
Amen.
Him.
Yes.
She offered
Amen.
Her weak places to Him. She said, "I don't have a husband." She opened up that part of her life. Now, I have a little prop.
Okay.
And you're always talking to me about my purses. My mother yeah. always say, "Kelly, your purse is too heavy."
Oh, it's
I'm like,
a ton.
"I know, Mom, I need to clean it out." It's the same response every time. And then I clean it out, or I'll get a smaller purse, and then it ends up, I just put the small one in the big one and carry it all around
that
again.
Doesn't work.
And so Mom will say, "Kelly, you need to get a smaller purse, or your purse is too full." So Jesus is like, "Let me in." And at first she was like, that pride will hold up a wall. And Mom might say to me, "Get a bigger purse or clean your purse out." And I go, "Oh, I know. I need to do that." That's pride. I need to just be honest and say, "You're right, Mom. My purse is a mess. I'm going home right now and clean it out." But that's like our life. And we don't want anybody to look in there and see how messy it is. You know what else it's like for women? You know, we can have company come over, Mom. You, not you. Me. I'll say me.
Okay.
And company's coming in 15 minutes. I don't really have time to clean out, so I throw it all in the laundry room.
Shut the door.
Shut the door. You do not let anybody in that laundry room. But you know, the Lord is wanting in your laundry room. He's wanting a look inside your purse. And you know, He didn't come to her condemning. He didn't say, you've been doing this and you've been doing that. She said, she's the one that opened the bag, and then she let Him look in there. And that's what, I don't even like looking in there right now. But that's what it's like. It becomes heavy. This stuff we carry around in our soul, hurts, junk, wrong thinking, even sin that maybe you've repented for in the past, but you're still carrying it around with you.
Affects your joy, and the joy of the Lord is your strength.
And in fact, when we learn on John 15 next week, we see Jesus says, I'm telling you all these things so you can have joy.
Yeah. Amen.
He wants you to have joy.
And I want
her to have joy.
Amen.
But you got to crack it open.
Okay.
You know,
when you get home.
Crack open to the Lord.
When you get home today, I want you to weigh that purse.
You know what? Actually, I already had my purse cleaned out. I had to throw stuff in here so that it would be this way today.
Oh.
I got a smaller purse last week.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, but this one is heavy. So it's just an illustration today of a big, heavy, messy purse that you don't want anybody to look in, or that laundry room. This is the places in our soul, in our heart, that Jesus is wanting access to.
Praise
and
God.
With her that day,
my yoke is easy.
He was so gentle. When she opened it up, it's like she said, okay, well, I don't have a husband. She was like opening up her heart, cracking open the door of her heart. And boy, he took that invitation and he says, you're right, you don't have a husband, for you've had five husbands and you aren't even married to the man you're living with. You certainly spoke the truth. So he gave her the expounded, amplified version of, I don't have a husband, but isn't he sweet? He was just there loving
her, wanting
to give her something. She said, but look how she did. Here comes that pride
right, where
again.
Are you?
She started to let that spring come up, but then she wanted to shut the door on it again. And she starts changing the subject. She's going to change the subject now. He got too close.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, verse 19, sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist Jerusalem is the only place of worship? Let's talk about theology or religion or something safer than this.
That's good.
He says, she talks about, while we Samaritans claim it's here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors were. She's going to try to misdirect him to a safer subject.
That's right. That's what she's doing.
So he says, I love how he turned it right back on her. He says, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. He's telling her, you know, that doesn't matter. That's not an important thing. And so many times the things that we'd like to redirect the subject to, they're not important. And Jesus, like we could say, well, but Jesus, so-and-so did such and such. And Jesus would say to you, it doesn't matter. It's not important. He says to her in verse 23, but the time is coming. Because now, see, he flowed along with her gently. He's going to bring her right back to where he wants her. He says, the time is coming and it's here now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So he's trying to lead her back to that place of this is between you and the Lord. And he's wanting her in truth to walk free.
Growth and safety.
He's
peace,
wanting her to worship,
blessing.
Not talk about how this person and that person worship where it's easy to talk about somebody else, but he brings it back to, this is how you worship.
Yes.
You know, Mom, I'm going to just throw this in. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit next week. But this summer, you and I went to a conference in Hawaii. And I'd been really, this was really the beginning, right before that, it was the beginning of the Lord really doing some things in me and giving me that scripture. And I didn't know the things that needed to change in me. Gave me Psalm 19. And I didn't know the things that were lurking in me that needed to be cleared out. But I had opened my heart to Him to do what He needed to do. Because He can diagnose you the way He diagnosed her. And He will, but you have to invite Him to. And so In that conference, Mom, there was so much. I got so much. I mean, your teaching was wonderful, and we were at Word of Life with Art and Kuna Sepulveda, and the team that she had for this women's conference
was an excellent meeting.
It was, and I felt like everybody came all that way just for me. I mean, I was one of the speakers, but I was so impacted. And one of the things the Lord did in me was He poured out this heart of worship in me. And Mom, I didn't even know. That was one of the first things He corrected in me. And He even told me later, He said, you were raised in an atmosphere of faith, but not so much an atmosphere of the kind of worship that He poured out on me. And just this place of, like, not just being in church, but like, I worship at home. I worship when I get ready. I worship in the evening. I just worship in the car. It's just different now. And it's something that He really poured out on me as a desire. And it was funny because one of the speakers there was Sam Evans, who she and her husband pastor Planet Shakers in Australia. Oh, they have this song called I Was Made to Worship.
Yeah.
And you and I both just, every time we come in the service, it seemed like they were playing that song. And you and I both just, I just saw us both worshiping at another level. Even Emily, my four-year-old, I was made to worship. And
We were made for that.
And I think that song, and it says, in that song, it says, I will worship. And worship comes from our soul. It comes from that place of choice. That's why it's so powerful, and that's why it impacts your life so much. And when you really worship, it's not just singing a song. You're engaging your soul. Because it comes from your mind, your will, and your emotions, and they're turned towards Him. That's why it's so lovely to the Father when you worship, and it's so life-changing to you. And so He starts talking to her about worship. And He started talking to me about worship so that's just something, I throw that out there. Really ask the Lord to pour something out on you if you never have, because He'll, whatever level you are, He can pour it out to it. There's always more of Him.
Oh, absolutely.
So I just throw that in because that's so good. Impacted me and opened the door for more. And every time I worship, it just feels like He's cleaning me out more. And
praise
so
God.
He talked to her about that way, about worship. And it says, for God is spirit, verse 24, so those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When He comes, He will explain everything to us. In the Amplified, it says, He will tell us everything we need to know and make it clear to us.
Praise God.
But look at this, what He says, I'm the Messiah. In other words, she said, when He comes, this is going to happen. And He says, I have come.
Mm-hmm.
I've come. I'm here. That's what He says to you today, too. He is here to make it clear to you.
Praise
He
God.
Is here to tell you everything you need to know, wherever it's hidden, wherever it's locked away, He'll show you
Amen. What
you need to know and make it clear to you. Isn't that good?
It is excellent.
So wonderful. And it says, the disciples came back and they were shocked to find Him talking to her. And you know, it says here in verse 28, they came in and sort of interrupted.
Because she was a married woman.
And she was Samaritan. And so they're shocked.
So they're surprised He's stooping this
Mm-hmm. And it says, you may be surprised that Jesus cares about you to this degree.
He cares that
He would even talk to you.
He died and was.
You don't have to be a theologian.
For you.
Probably helpful that you're not. You don't have to have been in the Word 100 years, 10 years, 1 year, 1 day for Him to talk to you.
Oh,
He's waiting at the well. He's waiting at this place of life to talk to you. And so it says here, she left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. You know, it's funny how when He tells you, you're willing to talk about it.
Yeah.
There's no
yeah.
more shame. She wasn't even ashamed to talk about what she did. I love that. She was so free just from
yes,
that little exchange.
That's right.
And could he possibly be Messiah? It says, so the people came streaming. Boy, she was impactful.
She really was.
From the village to see him. So the disciples were urging Jesus to eat something. And he says, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. They're like, did somebody bring him food? That's our job.
Yeah.
But it says here, Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work.
Amen.
He was sitting
Glory
there. His nourishment, what's a good way to say it? His satisfaction, Mom, came from helping her. That was his job. That is his job. His satisfaction today comes from helping
Praise
you.
Praise God. For
it
mercy.
Says, and he talks about the, he's talking to his disciples about the fields and they're ripe. He says in verse 38, I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work and now you get to gather in the harvest.
Mm.
And he says here, it says in verse 39, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because of this woman. And because he had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. Look at this. I just noticed this morning. So he stayed for 2 days. Why? Because that one woman let him into her heart, let him into her business, let him into her soul and her stuff.
She opened the door.
They begged him to stay. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
And look at this, Mom. They said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we've heard him ourselves.
Yes.
Now we know he is indeed the Savior of the world. And I wrote in my Bible, she had impact beyond herself.
She did.
Now you know that those things that he began there at the well that day, as he continued to minister, she got freer and freer and freer
and talked
more and more.
That's right.
You know, a free person is the best advertisement
That's
for
right.
Jesus.
Praise God. That's good, Kelly. That's the truth. Amen. Kelly and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.